It's Friday. It's time to review AFC home games, and who needs Adam Azer to produce a podcast anyway? Oh, wait, hold on. Is this better? Here we go. It's Friday.
I see what we did there.
It's Friday. It's time to preview AFC home games, and who needs Adam Azer anyway, especially when we've got super producer Matt Brodsky at the helm helping us out. This is the Fantasy Football Today podcast from CBSSports.com, brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com/CBSSports and use offer code FUN. Jamie's here. Jamie is feeling a little bit under the weather, and I'm willing, Jamie, to do a shortened version of the podcast so that you can get home drink some chicken noodle soup.
I already did that.
And lay in bed and have Ronan and Eli tuck you in. But you don't want that. You want to stay and do the podcast. You just want to get right to the news and notes.
You're wasting my time.
News and notes brought to you. Oh, Matt found that funny. He's cracking up over there. Squarespace brings you the news and notes. Let's start with A.J. Green in Cincinnati. He is officially listed as probable for week 3 against the Titans. He has a toe injury. Practiced twice this week. Did we learn anything from Brandon Marshall last week? When a guy plays and he's a stud, you put him in your lineup. Pretty much that's it, right? So you're starting A.J. Green.
I think you have to. I don't see any other reason why not. And you look at it, the first 2 weeks for the Titans, they've given up good production to the respective number one receiver. Granted, week one it was Donnie Avery, but last week Dez Bryant scored a touchdown. So I have no problem with A.J. Green.
Brandon Marshall, by the way, missed practice again on Friday. The Bears play on Monday, so there's going to be a Saturday practice that will act like their Friday practice. If Brandon Marshall doesn't practice on Saturday, what does that mean? Do you get a little nervous, and do you have to make lineup decisions based on that, or do you just say, you know what, I saw what Brandon Marshall did last week, I'm going to assume he'll play, and I'm going to set my lineup accordingly?
Yeah, I know I lost one league because I had benched Brandon Marshall, you know, not knowing he was going to play last week, and it cost me. So unless I hear word otherwise, you know, I'm planning on him being in there. So I'm setting my lineup Sunday as of now that he's going to play.
If you need a desperation handcuff in case he can't play, there's Jeremy Curley. There's Santonio Holmes.
Could be a revenge game for Holmes.
Yeah, that's a good point. Alshon Jeffrey, by the way, limited in Friday's practice with a hamstring. Eric Decker in that same game, sidelined on Friday with a hamstring. That might be the more serious injury to keep an eye on compared to the Bears guys. Dexter McCluster, probable with a foot injury. Jordan Cameron is listed as questionable. He was limited in Friday's practice. They say he's not near 100%. I'm not trusting him against Baltimore. I think that that's a pretty easy guy to get away from.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about revenge games. Jericho Cotchery, of all people, has one against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll talk about that game. No, that's an NFC game. We talked about that yesterday. He's questionable for the game. You wouldn't use him, but D'Angelo Williams on the same team, he's officially listed as questionable. Great matchup for D'Angelo, but if he's out, that's when you want to try and put Jonathan Stewart in your lineup. And if he's in, then I don't know if I want either one.
I would agree. I think Stewart is the better of the two, though.
Jordan Reed is ruled out, and we'll get to other injuries as we roll along, going through the AFC home games. And we'll start with an interesting one between the Chargers at the Bills. And maybe when you looked at this one before the season, you thought, San Diego will wipe the mat with them. This Buffalo team isn't very good. Well, now here they are at 2-0, and San Diego's coming off of a win at home over the Super Bowl champions. The Chargers are going to come into this game without some pass rushers. Melvin Ingram, Jeremy Atuchu, if that's how you pronounce it, I'm not 100%. I believe they're both. Thank you. I believe they're both not expected to play. Maybe that helps the Bills a little bit. Jamie, two questions here. What's the latest on Sammy Watkins? Because I know that you know, and I don't, so I'm asking. And number two, what receivers do you really like in this game?
Well, Watkins is apparently dealing with some sort of injury. I believe it's his ribs that are still bothering him. He was on the injury report, but he is listed as probable, so I have no fear.
So he's going to go.
Yep. I like the two number one guys. I think you look at Sammy Watkins and Keenan Allen. Allen also dealing with an injury situation. His status has not yet been determined. However, he did show up in practice on Friday, so it sounds as if he's going to be ready to go. He had an injury situation in practice on Thursday, but just reading his update right now on our site, he was in uniform in Friday's practice, was able to go through whatever workout. So just keep an eye on it Sunday morning, but I'm planning on him being out there.
For the running backs in this game, if you had to rank them, I'd go with C.J. Spiller at the top. And then I might go Woodhead ahead of Fred Jackson, just because we haven't seen great things from Fred Jackson, and I'm not sure that we will in this game either. And then Donald Brown would probably bring up the rear from that group. But it's a close call between Jackson and Woodhead. Would you agree?
No, I like Jackson better just because I think Woodhead is touchdown dependent.
Okay.
I mean, Jackson, I guess you could say, is as well. But I don't really love any of the guys. I think all four of them are worth sitting.
It's going to depend on your situation, certainly with Spiller and everybody else. Spiller, though, the best one of the group.
Yeah, but none of them are top 24 for me. I mean, I think you got to buy into the way San Diego's played with their run defense so far. They did a good job week one in containing Andre Ellington.
See, the thing with Lynch, though, last week is he didn't get a lot of work. So that's why I'm wondering just how good is that.
But Spiller doesn't
defense.
Necessarily get a full workload by comparison to most running backs. You're talking 15 carries. So is he good enough to start in 15 carries?
No. That's an interesting question. With the quarterbacks, no one's starting AJ Manuel. Phillip Rivers, to me, I think he's a no-brainer this week. I don't know if I'd get cute and start him ahead of Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck. But I would go ahead and put him over Brady, over Romo. And it's a close call between him and Russell Wilson. I think I'd actually lean toward Rivers than Russell Wilson. What do you think?
I like Wilson a lot better than Rivers.
How come?
Just because I think of the way he plays at home, and he's, you know, locked into basically 20-plus fantasy points against a Denver defense that I don't think is going to contain him. His rushing ability will help set him apart a little bit. Rivers, I think, is just one of those guys that could be hit or miss. You know, I don't think you get a Carson Palmer week one type performance against. That doesn't make sense.
A week one performance from Rivers. But though he wasn't that good.
No,
how many touchdowns?
I was
how many touchdowns?
I was off on where I was going there.
Okay.
I think Rivers is, I think he's top 12 worthy. The only guy that you mentioned that I wouldn't start him over would be Wilson. I just think Wilson's got a higher ceiling.
Okay. Sounds good to me. And Antonio Gates, don't you dare sit him. Is there a defense to play in this game?
I like both, but they're kind of low-end options. I like the Chargers a little more just because of EJ Manuel. I think clearly you look at him and the way that he tends to play, he can get turnover prone. We haven't seen it from him really yet, but I like what the Chargers have done defensively through 2 weeks.
I like the Bills DST. I think they can get to Phillip Rivers a little bit. And I like Rivers too, but I think the defense could get a bunch of sacks and put up some decent points. So if you're streaming, that's definitely an option to go with. Let's move on to Tennessee at Cincinnati. We talked about AJ Green and what we would do with him. Is there a receiver on Tennessee that you like this week, or is the matchup just too stiff?
Yeah, I'd stay away from basically all
too.
The Titans.
Right.
I think it's just one of those start all Bengals, sit all Titans.
You know,
games.
I almost feel like the best two players in this game are Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill.
Even with Green playing?
Well, I'm sorry. With Jeremy Hill being third and AJ Green being second.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cincinnati leans on their ground game and then uses play action. That's when you'll see A.J. Green do his thing. I know Mohamed Sanu was fun last week. A lot of that came with A.J. Green on the sideline. I don't think you'll get that back. There is one guy for Tennessee, Delanie Walker, who I think is worth starting. And going back to the whole Ken Wisenhunt reunion tour that he seems to be on, where he's taking on all these teams that he played against last season when he was coordinating the Chargers, here's another matchup where he uses a tight end to beat them last year, and he beat Cincinnati twice, once in the regular season. That was a low-scoring game. And then again in the playoffs where his Chargers, his offense, ran away with it against the Cincinnati Bengals defense. It's not the same personnel that he's using. I think he'll dial up stuff for Delanie Walker. That's the only one that I would feel good about. And the Bishop Sankey situation just continues to get worse because we know Dexter McCluster's probable.
Mm-hmm.
That means that Sankey's probably going to end up being third string again.
Yep.
Eventually, fantasy owners are going to have thin patience waiting for Bishop Sankey to come back. I don't know. How close are you to advocating cutting Bishop Sankey?
Well, I mean, look, we just went through a week of Bobby Rainey, Donald Davis, Donald Brown, Matt Asiata,
Kyrie Robinson. Lamar Miller?
Miller's owned. Just the guys who are available to you on waivers, and I think, you know, Sankey was at the end of a lot of people's benches at this point, so if you needed to drop somebody. I hate giving up on the two guys I think that are going to come back to haunt us, cutting them. Sankey would be one, Andre Williams would be the other, just because I think at some point they're going to play prominent roles. A lot of people did that with Terrence West after the poor preseason. You know, they drafted him,
yeah,
and then they cut him
said,
after
this
after
guy,
week
now
one.
Now he's super.
Right. And so Bernard Pierce, too, another guy that people started to cut. So, I think, you know, Sankey, if you can stash him, you do it, but it's not necessarily a must situation for fantasy owners.
If you had to stash one of the two between Sankey and Josh Gordon.
Oh, Sankey.
Okay.
Because I think he'll have relevance. He'll have more relevance sooner.
Jamie and I both like the Bengals DST quite a bit in that game. Moving on, Baltimore at Cleveland, a good old AFC North clash. Ravens run game. Which running back do you think has the better game against the Browns?
Pierce. I think he's the one you want to focus on. But I wouldn't rule out Forsett. You know, you could see a situation where he comes out and maybe makes some plays. Pierce dealing with a little bit of an injury also, although everything I've seen expected.
It looks like he's going to play.
Yep.
Yeah. I like the matchup for Pierce quite a bit. It's probably the only Raven I feel good about other than Pitta. I think Pitta can have a pretty decent game against the Browns. You saw what Jimmy Graham did last week against the Browns. That's a pretty good reason to start
Tennis Pitta. The game plan goes there for them because that's kind of what they do.
Right, right. What about Terrence West this week? Do you like him as much as you have in previous weeks? Because for me, the matchup – doesn't look great. I think it just looks okay.
Yeah, I think he's a top 20 guy. I probably have him maybe a little too high. I should probably dial it back. I have a 19 right now. Mm-hmm. So I may drop him down behind Pierce, who I have at 23. So I think it just comes down to, like, I'm in a situation in a PPR league where I'm debating between Vereen and West.
Which way are you leaning?
Right now I have West in there, but I think once I change my thoughts on West a little bit, I'll probably go back to Vereen because I'd be okay if West has a good game and Vereen's on my bench, and I'd be disappointed the other way around.
I see. We'll get to that Patriots game.
I'd be more happy with seeing Vereen in my lineup in a PPR league. If it was standard league, I'd go West.
Well, let's think about it. What would be a mediocre game in a PPR league for Shane Vereen? Let's just say, you know,
last week
we expect – all right, excellent. What did he do last week?
Nothing.
How many catches did he have?
I don't know, two maybe? I'll check.
I think he had more than two, but maybe not much more. But if it's that bad of a game for him, and you'll run the stats past us, then we'll know that Terrence West is probably the better option to go with. Because you've got to count on Vereen playing
less,
a lot.
Less than two.
He had one catch?
Less than one.
He had no catches?
He had no catches. Six carries for 40 yards.
Okay, so he was worth four fantasy points? Yep. Don't you feel like Terrence West can do better than that?
But that's last week, though. I mean, and it's different matchup situation. You know, my fear with the Patriots and my fear with Stephen Ridley as a start of the week is that they decide we don't like seeing Tom Brady in this level of passers when we look at passing stats and we can do whatever we want.
And that they want to throw.
And that they just come out and let's throw the ball 30 times in the first half and run the ball 40 times in the second half, and that's our game plan.
How often have we seen that from them?
I'm obviously joking, but they could do whatever they want against Oakland. That's the thing. And so if they decide to go that route, then Vereen could have a couple catches. We could see the game we saw in person in the third preseason game. It's two plays. He had five catches in that game, but he scored two touchdowns on two plays. You know, so he's such a – it's different. Him, Sproles, Pierre Thomas, these guys that don't get 15-plus carries, they can win you your week or lose you your week. And we were expecting, at least I was, Vereen to be more of what he was week one, which wasn't much more work from a running standpoint. He had one more carry, but he had five catches. And so you're hoping Vereen gets – that was 12 touches. You're hoping he's in the 15-touch range because 15 touches for that guy can usually lead to big things.
But when he has those games, usually the Patriots are in a battle, and there's a lot of points being scored, and they've got to go back and forth. I don't know how much battling there's going to be. I really feel like Wes is the better start there. Well, even in a PPR.
Let me see something here.
What are you looking up?
I'm looking up last year.
All right.
So, I mean, your point is valid. I'm looking at the games where they were blasting people. Now, the last two in their regular season, they beat Baltimore 41-7 and they beat Buffalo 34-20. So two games with two touchdown victories.
Okay. Definitely decided victories against weaker opponents.
Right. Now, factor in also that was LeGarrette Blount taking over the running back show there.
Right, so I'm not worried about how those numbers
but it was
look
three
in
guys.
Comparison
it
to Ridley.
But it was three guys, because Ridley was still getting carries in that frame
but
as well.
Was it as many as he got?
So here's
was it 20 carries?
Here's Vereen's numbers. Two carries 6 yards in those games. Two carries 6 yards against Baltimore, two carries 3 yards against Buffalo, but one catch 4 yards and a touchdown.
Less than 10 fantasy points.
Three catches 42 yards and a touchdown. So that's what he can bring to the
table.
So
his ceiling is like 11 points in those games. And that's if he scores.
Totally understand it. But you're also talking about it just a matter of their team last year was so different from where it is right now because they weren't whole.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess your point is definitely valid. It's a matter of which Patriots offense shows up. And you would lean toward the Patriots offense that should just decide to roll over the Raiders physically as opposed to finesse.
All right. We'll touch on that game in a little bit, but I think we covered a pretty interesting point there with Vereen. And I know a lot of people have questions about Shane Vereen. Let's look back at the Browns and the Ravens. Is there anybody else besides Terrence West that you might even consider for Cleveland?
In a desperation situation at running back, Crowell, just hoping that he
right.
scores.
And then PPR leagues for Hawkins, I think he is kind of what he is.
I also think, you know, if Cameron comes back, I know, I agree with you, it's not going to be a good situation for him. But if you're not inclined to carry two, like let's just say, for example, waivers in your league runs Friday, and you know Cameron's playing. Do you sit there and go, okay, I'm going to carry Cameron and Larry Donnell as opposed to picking up Donald Brown or Kyrie Robinson or somebody that could help you? Because you're not cutting Cameron. He'll be picked up in a second. You cut
probably.
The tight end. You cut the tight end. You
well, if the waivers run on Friday, does that mean that they're there on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday? Do I have a chance of getting Cameron back after the weekend? Because in that situation, Sam 0-2, I might cut Cameron, pick up Donnell, and then hope that I get Cameron back on waivers on Monday or the following
but
week,
you
not on Monday.
Yeah.
If I do it on Friday, you're probably right. But if I do it on Sunday, then maybe, it's not so
obviously
bad.
Obviously, I'm not the biggest Jordan Cameron fan in this offense.
Right.
So,
and I'm not a fan of guys that get hurt and that's what's happened to him.
Right.
I liked him when he was healthy.
Sure. No, I understandable. Yeah. But I just think that injury matchup, not healthy, you can get away from Cameron. But I wouldn't completely rule him out.
Give me a Smith from Baltimore you'd feel good about starting.
Oh, Steve is the better of the two.
I mean, the targets just say so. Just tons of targets compared to Torrey Smith. And he looks good. He really does. He doesn't look like a 35-year-old receiver. He's out there darting around and making plays, and I think Flacco really likes it. Flacco is a good desperation quarterback this week, not somebody that I would start in a standard one-quarterback league. Ravens DST for me, I like them a lot. Browns DST, not so much. Though it could be a low-scoring game. Mm-hmm. There's a chance there that this game is 13-10 or 16-10 or 21-10. That would be low-scoring.
Sure.
Baltimore winning and only giving up 10 points. All right, let's get this Raiders-Patriots game out of the way. We talked about Vereen. We love Stephen Ridley. I think Gronk is a great start this week. Three of his four first home games of the year, each of his years in the league, he scored at least one touchdown in three of the four. The one he didn't do it was last year when his first game at home, he was still coming back from all of his injuries, wasn't himself, and I believe he did score in the game after. So he likes making a big impression at Foxborough, and he even talked about it during the week. Mm-hmm. So I think Gronk is definitely worth starting, so don't have any questions about using him. Takes us to Julian Edelman, who I think is a must-start, and I think he's earned it, and the matchup's good for him. But then you've also got Brady. Bless you.
Thank you.
I don't know how you feel about Brady. And, you know, by comparing him to other quarterbacks, is he a top 12 guy? Because this could be a game, and maybe you want to go back and look at Brady's stats against the Ravens and against Buffalo. And in matchups where they maybe didn't have to use him, I'm curious as to how he did.
Let's take a look.
Okay. You take a look at that. Steven Gostkowski's a great start this week. And, of course, the Patriots DST. I'll run down all the Raiders that you should start this week. And I'm done. Jamie, are we looking at Tom Brady's numbers yet?
Yeah.
Right,
so here's last year, those same games.
It was Baltimore and Buffalo. Were they home games by any chance?
I believe one of them was, for sure.
Okay.
All right. So we're looking at games where they should have rolled over teams.
Well, games where they did end up rolling over teams.
All right. Well, it's a little bit bigger sample size because Vereen didn't play in a lot of those games. That's why I only went to those last two.
All right. So go to those last two. That's
Tampa Bay, week three last year, 23-3 victory. He threw two touchdowns, and that was his matchup against Darrell Revis.
How many yards was that?
225 yards.
All right. So that was a 20-point day.
Yep.
Okay.
No, he had an interception. So
19?
Yep. This was the start of Brady not getting over the 20-point threshold.
Okay, next one.
You're a little nervous. So then they beat the Dolphins 27-17. He threw for 116 yards and a touchdown in that game.
Are we
typical struggles against Miami.
Yeah. So I would throw that one out.
Right. So we're looking for games where they
we're going into the game, we figured that they would run the ball.
Okay.
Like the Tampa Bay one was perfect.
So let's see. All right. So
he still had a couple touchdowns.
The Baltimore game. And look, this is where he was at the end of last year, and this is where he started so far this year. Baltimore, 41-7 in Baltimore, 172 passing yards, one touchdown. Buffalo game in New England, 122 passing yards, one touchdown.
So it could be a real quiet day for him.
There's a little bit of a track record here. You would anticipate it. So
maybe the touchdown goes to Gronk. Maybe Edelman, you know, gets it done in a PPR league with 6, 7, 8 catches, but doesn't score.
Yep.
And the yardage is modest. Vereen sounds like his ceiling's at about 11. And Stephen Ridley should look like Walter Payton in this game.
Let's hope so.
All right. And like I said, Raiders, nah. Indianapolis is at Jacksonville for a 1 p.m. kickoff at Everbank Field, I think it's called, or stadium. Forgive me. But I know that Indianapolis has quite a darling at running back in Ahmad Bradshaw. And it's nice to see him running. Certainly gives the offense a lot more excitement. It's better with him than it is with Trent Richardson. He's played more than Trent Richardson, and he's been way more productive than Trent Richardson. And seeing the Jaguars' defense makes me a little sad on the inside, Jamie, because they try hard, and there's a bunch of really good players. And I like Gus Bradley, but you know what? They stink. And I think that Ahmad Bradshaw is going to take advantage and put together a nice game. He's in my top 12 this week at running back.
Yeah, you're very close.
I think he's absolutely worth starting. Ahead of guys like Matt Forte, Le'Veon Bell, Monte Ball, Eddie Lacy. It sounds crazy at first, but when you recognize that he's healthy and he's in that offense and they want to run the football, and now he gives them the chance to, he's going to be great.
I would agree. My one concern would be is if they do what they should, which is go up big early, is it him at the end of the game, or is it let's get Trent Richardson some numbers so that his – stats look better.
It's possible.
Or is it even somebody like Deion Lewis? I don't even know if he's been active.
He's not even
but
on
Darren,
the team
Darren
anymore.
Darren Heron. Oh, they cut Deion
Yeah, they
Lewis,
cut Deion Lewis.
I didn't realize that.
So it would be pretty surprising if it was him.
So if it's Heron or you know, whatever they decide to do at running back.
Okay. What about the receivers for the Colts?
That doesn't worry you at all, though?
No, because I think he'll be a part of how they get there.
Yeah, but he could have a week one game, which was good.
Yeah, well, what did he get? Close to 100 total yards?
No, it was like...
he had 5 for 70 catches.
Yeah, 5 for 70 catches, but I don't know how much he did as a rusher. He had like 20 yards rushing, something like that.
Okay, so that would be disappointing.
Yeah, no, it was a good game.
It feels like he's got to get 100 total yards and a touchdown for him to be in the top 12. I think he can get there. I think Jacksonville's just pitiful. So is this a game where Andrew Luck does what we talked about with Tom Brady, where he doesn't necessarily have to do a lot of things to get it going? This is a game Indianapolis has to win. They're 0-2. They obviously know that they can win the game. The matchup is just so favorable for them. But do they let Andrew Luck flex his muscles, or do they just kind of take it easy and try and lean on the ground game as best as they can?
I think that they do whatever they want. So, I mean, what we saw last week from the Redskins is, I think, indicative of what you can get from the Colts.
Okay, so Alfred Morris, 2 touchdowns on the ground.
Yeah, but they don't have
Kirk
an Alfred
Cousins
Morris.
Had some numbers.
I know you like Bradshaw, and I agree. I think
he's
Bradshaw's
not
a good
Alfred
start,
Morris.
But he's not, he's not a featured guy in this offense.
Okay,
he's still part
fair.
Of a tandem. So I think their running game should do well. Like, if I was completely desperate, I would even rule out Trent Richardson. I think he's an okay flex in a deeper league just because he's still going to get the work.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think both running backs are good. Bradshaw better than Richardson. I think Luck, to me, is top 10 quarterback this week. I wouldn't get cute with him. So I think he's going to have a big game. And then the way I see it is I think it's going to come from what we've seen from Luck each of the first 2 weeks, which is you don't know who.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, week one, he ran one and he threw one to Dwayne Allen. Last week, he threw to Doyle. One to Doyle. Who caught the other two? I don't remember anymore.
Ahmad Bradshaw.
Right. So you're looking at a scenario of a guy who's getting it done with all the weapons that he has. It's unfortunate that there's not one feature guy. There's no Julio Jones. But there is a collective group that I think should have success.
Okay. So of that collective group, who gets the job done? So you've got Wayne, you've got Hilton, you've got Nix. There's a couple of guys that are on the injury report there, but you've also got Dwayne Allen. Do you even look at a guy like Kobe Fleener? I don't think so. I think Allen is actually a good start this week.
Yeah, especially with, you know, we'll find out what Hilton's status is. I'm not sure if it's been – I'll take a look.
Okay.
You'll obviously be able to see it on our site.
But he and Hakeem Nix are the two that will likely show up on the injury report.
Yeah.
Not the guy coming back from
Nix is dealing with an illness, so you got to hope that he'll play.
You think it's Spilkey's?
Maybe.
Poor Hakeem. I hope he's got good plumbing. What about the Colts DST as a sleeper this week? Because we know that Jacksonville's offense is just, they're bad.
They could do what they did in week one. It wouldn't be surprising. I mean, the Colts defense isn't exactly great. So it comes down to, like, I think that the way that I was viewing it, like looking at waiver wire moves this week and certainly in rankings, well, it's actually three. Well, the Colts, the Ravens, and the Saints, because they were available in like 50% of leagues or more.
Okay.
The Saints have been a disappointment through 2 weeks. The Ravens are coming off an amazing game against the Steelers, and the Colts have the great matchup. All three have great matchups.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at it as I want the Ravens first, the Saints second, the Colts third. And it's not a distant third. It's a very close third. But the thing that concerns me is if they don't get to Henny,
yeah,
how will they fare? I don't think the Jaguars are scoring 20
I think they get
points.
To Henny. I think they get to him a bunch.
No, I mean, you got to figure that the Jaguars looked at what they did last week.
And they're going to tell them.
They already changed two guys. They changed two, at least
right,
two stars.
On the offensive
right,
line.
They changed two stars on the offensive line. So it's now something different. They're getting their best receiver back. For what it's worth, Cecil Schwartz is still their best guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to play. So I think there's some optimism there from a Jaguars offensive standpoint, not for fantasy, but keeping their quarterback upright.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the Colts are thirsty. But I definitely think they're worth adding and using. I actually have them, as we sit here right now, they're my defense for FanDuel.
Oh, okay.
So I think there's a good opportunity there. I'm probably going to switch it back to the Saints. I've tinkered with it, you know, just I'm waiting on Nile Davis. And so if Nile Davis is in, then it changes some things around for me.
Right, because you need some extra money.
As of right now, I have the Colts in there just because I don't like to leave dollars on the table.
Mm-hmm.
They're at five. They're at like 5,100.
Yeah, right.
The Saints are 47 or 40, 46.
Okay. Anybody in Jacksonville that you would use as a potential flex this week?
You can't. You know, it's Gerhardt's not looking good at all.
We've talked about the defense not looking good for Indianapolis.
Well, just Gerhardt's looked worse.
Looked worse than
anything that Indianapolis
did. I'd be surprised if he got rolling. I'd be surprised if anybody gets rolling. They don't have Marquise Lee. Chad Henne's looked terrible.
You could see one of Schwartz or Hurns score. You're not starting either one of Schwartz or Hurns. But, they're going to probably be chasing points. Those two guys are clearly.
What about Allen Robinson?
He's also, all three guys.
That
in the
might
mix.
Be my favorite.
All three guys in the mix. But you would start him over Schwartz?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm
worried about another injury for Schwartz. We haven't seen him play.
Fair enough.
I think you just have to take a real cautious approach with him. Here's a reminder that today's broadcast is brought to you by Squarespace, where you can easily create your own professional website or online portfolio. Squarespace is constantly improving their platform with new features, new designs, even better support. It's incredibly easy to use, but if you want some help, Squarespace has the support staff there 24/7 to help you build the website that you want. It starts at just $8 a month. It includes a free domain name if you sign up for 1 year. Every design automatically includes a unique mobile experience that matches the overall style of your website, so your content will look great on every device, every time. That's what Squarespace can do for you. You can start a free trial with no credit card and build your website today. When you do sign up, make sure to use the offer code FUN to get 10% off and to show your support for our podcast. We thank Squarespace for their support of our podcast. Squarespace has everything you need to create an exceptional website. Let's move on with the Week 3 AFC home games. And Kansas City at Miami.
I'm glad you brought that up. You ready to hear what Andy Reid said moments ago about our good friend Jamal Charles?
Is this breaking news?
No, this is a quote sheet.
This is breaking news on the CBSSports.com Fantasy Football Podcast. Now go to the desk where Jamie Eisenberg sits to read the quote. Jamie, is there something you'd like to read? Why are you taking so long to read it?
Jamal went through practice today, and what we're going to do here before we give you any update on it is we're going to see how he did on it today and how he feels after this practice. But he did practice, and he moved around and did a decent job.
What the hell does that
mean? See how it all works out. Question, did Jamal look, for the lack of a better term, normal to you out there? Andy Reid, yeah, he did okay. Yeah, he looked a little sore, but he did okay, you know. He worked a little bit yesterday, but he loosened up and he kind of went as it went. We'll just see how it goes. Have you ever seen anyone return from high ankle sprain in a week, Coach Reid? Reid, well, I actually have. Yeah, I saw someone return from a surgery, actually, on an ankle once and did pretty good. Can you say who it was? Well, it was, it was a Super Bowl. So you can limit it for you. You can figure it out from there.
He doesn't even want to say T.O.'s name.
Terrell Owens? Well, you can figure it out. And that was
the end. He won't even tell him that it was T.O.
And that was the end of that.
So basically Andy Reid said a bunch of gobbledygook about Jamal Charles and whether or not he'd play.
So here's the problem.
He grew an extra millimeter's worth of mustache hair, and he walked on his way.
Here's the problem with this game. Here's why you can't trust the Chiefs right now.
Please.
It's a 4 o'clock game.
Yeah.
So it puts even more of a wrinkle into this dicey situation because we know a lot of people went out and picked up Nile Davis. A lot of people were expecting Nile Davis, if you're not the Jamal Charles owner, to start this week. It's easy if you have both. You just go with whoever starts, wait for the inactives. They'll be out around 2:30. Ding. Starter in. Mm-hmm. Done. If we don't have an answer by our show, 11 to 1 Eastern, you're going to be in trouble because you have to make a call. So I think you're going to still get good production from Nile Davis. You're not going to get great production if Jamal Charles plays, but I think Davis is probably going to get a couple series or two. He's probably going to look fresher than Jamal Charles and may bust one. But you can't trust it.
Here's the first thing. There's going to be reports before kickoff at 1. Shows like Fantasy Football Today were made for situations like this. This is a CBS game. We should have some sort of idea what direction the Chiefs plan on going in with their running backs. They might bring Jamal Charles along for the ride and then make him inactive. Now, according to Andy Reid and the garbage that he just read, according to you, Jamie, I don't know if that's likely to happen. I don't know if they're going to do that and give Jamal Charles a week off, but maybe we find out about that before 1 o'clock. But if we don't, I think you're right. I think you'll see a split between the two. And I don't know if I'm ready to say that the Dolphins run defense is going to get run over by these guys. I don't know if this is even a good matchup for them. I don't think it is.
Well, if it was one, you'd love one.
What do you mean one? If it was one guy, I would love one guy.
Yeah.
But at this point, I don't know if I really want to trust either one as a starter, maybe one of them as a flex. What do you think?
If Jamal Charles starts, I'm starting him, no problem, and he's a top 10 guy for me, easily.
Interesting. So you would take him ahead of...
I didn't draft Jamal Charles to start him.
I understand, but even though you can make the assumption that, A, he's going to split time, and B, he could potentially hurt himself again.
I see what you're saying, and then I tell you Brandon Marshall last week.
Okay.
If superstar plays, you play him.
So let's just say it's one spot, and I've got to pick between Jamal Charles and Stephen Ridley. You're going to go with Charles over Ridley.
Charles is a top five running back.
What about, okay, I'm not even going to try with any of the other
guys.
It's
not Bradshaw. It's not Robinson. It's
I'm nervous.
Lamar
Miller. I'm not as excited as you are.
I get it. I'm a little
flabby-armed grandma going, ah.
We would have said the same thing about Brandon Marshall last week. And granted, it's probably works out more the other way than it does the Brandon Marshall scenario. But I know I lost the game last week with Brandon Marshall on my bench. I know a lot of people did because not only did it impact Marshall, it impacted Cutler. You stick to those studs unless to me, it's not a horrible matchup. I understand you say it's not an easy one, but we have Nile Davis right now, and he's a top 10 guy.
By himself, yes.
By himself. I think Nile Davis would play. I don't think he's going to take – they're not putting Jamal Charles out there, risking him getting hurt further if they don't feel he's going to get a full workload.
It just seems so dicey to me. And the only other guy from Kansas City you might consider, maybe Dwayne Bowe. It's a homecoming game for him. He's from the Miami area. You just made that face there where you don't really care.
Don't really trust him.
And then what about Travis Kelce? I don't think you're starting Kelce.
Nope.
But what about, is he still worth the stash?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, he was a top 12 tight end last week for what it's worth. Finished with 8 fantasy points. So, yeah, I think there's still reason for optimism.
Dolphins, Lamar Miller. I like him this week. I think he's got a great opportunity because he's not splitting carries. He's not in a timeshare situation. We know Noshon Moreno is out. We know that he is in. And I think he's going to have a good opportunity to take the majority of the snaps and the majority of the touches against the Kansas City defense down so many defenders right now. They just don't look good. They've allowed a big rushing average on the season. I want to look it up because I think that that's an important stat to speak of. And we know that Lamar Miller has looked good so far this season. He hasn't been amazing. And last week, you know, it was what it was. But I think that there's real potential for Lamar Miller to have a monster game and for the Dolphins to win this game. I don't have it in front of me what the rushing average is for running backs against Kansas City. Mike Wallace has shown me something.
Oh,
I loved his touchdown catch. And I don't mean to be disrespectful of Kansas City's defense, but other than pass rush, I don't see anything great there. I see just a lot of ham and eggers doing their thing and not really being tough on opposing offenses. Charles Clay is a sleeper for me this week, too.
I don't like Clay as much because he's banged up, and he hasn't really shown much despite the targets being there.
Right. Okay, that's fine. But if he plays, I like him.
Tight ends have done well against the Chiefs so far this season.
And I think that puts Tannehill in play as a deep sleeper.
Yeah,
I'm not saying I'm going to start him because there's no bye weeks yet. We're a week away from the week four by NATO. But I don't know. I think that there's a chance that Tannehill could have a pretty decent game. If I had to pick between Tannehill and Alex Smith, I'm not crazy for saying Tannehill over Alex Smith, am I?
No, but it would be probably Tannehill and Cousins.
Who would you take?
I'd take Cousins.
I'm not sure if I would. I'd have to check my rankings. The Chiefs are allowing 4.9 yards per carry to running backs this season. And if it's Cousins versus Tannehill, my rankings say Tannehill. I'm going to stand by what I have in my rankings.
Okay.
We've got one more AFC home game to go to before we read some emails. Do you have some emails ready to go, James?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I don't. Monday night, Bears-Jets. Matt Forte, last week, had plenty of work, couldn't get much going with it. Could you see something similar happening this week? And if so, how far do you push him down in the rankings, and how low do your expectations become?
I still start him because I like his ability to catch the ball, and that to me is always a difference maker for these running backs. Like, he's better off in a tough matchup like this than somebody like Eddie Lacy or Marshawn Lynch or, you know, the bigger backs that you're relying on them to score, which mm-hmm. typically they do, which is why they're great. But I know he struggled last week. They were chasing points in that game. I don't think they're going to be chasing points against the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still starting Forte. I still think he's a top 12 guy.
Okay. I think that's fair. Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey, we kind of touched on them at the beginning of the podcast. So rewind about, I don't know, what do you think, 30 or 40 minutes? About 35 minutes to get our take on those guys. Cutler to me is a must start. I mean, you just look at how the quarterbacks have done against the Jets this year. Derek Carr, one of them, not really that great, but for his first game, I think you'd take it. Yeah. And then Aaron Rodgers last week, I'd say that was pretty good.
Yep.
And Jordy Nelson was all over the place against Gangrene. But moving on, Martellus Bennett, I agree. I think you'll agree is a good start this week.
Yep.
Let's move on to the Jets. Chris Ivory, Chris Johnson, do we point at them and laugh because they're running backs on the Jets? Or is there actually one of them or both of them that you would like to start this week?
I wouldn't want to start either one because I think they're just going to eat away at each other and not necessarily have the opportunity to play at a huge level. But if I had to pick one, I would take Ivory. I think he's an okay flex option in standard league. We know he doesn't catch the ball. He actually had more receiving yards, if you could believe that, than Chris Johnson last week.
Mm-hmm.
Johnson had one catch for no yards. Ivory
had a very Chris Johnson-esque game.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting because we haven't seen a running back really destroy the Bears yet. Gore did well from a fantasy perspective, but nobody's been awesome like we saw last year.
Well, Spiller had a good game. It just wasn't awesome. We've seen two running backs have good games and find the end zone.
Yes, they've been good. They just haven't been, you know, 100 rushing
no
yards.
No one's done that. Right. And I don't think Ivory can do that, but I wouldn't mind getting behind Chris Ivory this week. Plus, if you're in front of Chris Ivory, he might run you over.
It's just a matter of if they're trailing, how much work does he get?
Yeah, that's a good point. Anybody from the Jets passing game? If Eric Decker's out, that might make it easier to slow down Chris Ivory.
Yeah, that's the fear, is that Decker doesn't play, and then they're just stuck with what they had a year ago, which is a good running game, not a great running game, and Jeremy Curley.
So where does the Bears' DST fit in? Could they be a sleeper this week?
Oh, without a doubt. I think they're at the fourth of that group that we talked about before, the Ravens, the Saints, the Colts, and I think the Bears are right there.
Okay, I think that's pretty much it for the game. Am I missing anybody there?
Nope. Decker, if he starts, he playing.
All right, a couple other news and notes before we get to the emails. Arian Foster listed as questionable for week 3. A hamstring injury limited him in practice. Does that slow your role on starting him this week? Foster against the Giants.
Must start guy.
I agree. Keenan Allen is listed as questionable. Practice on a limited basis on Friday and Thursday after not being on the injury report on Wednesday. Does that scare you a little bit against Buffalo?
No, we talked about that.
And we talked about Jamaal Charles, too. We are ready to answer emails. So, Jamie, I will hand this over to you. Go ahead and read some emails, and then we will get the heck out of here.
Sure. Comes to us from Mike in Sayreville, New Jersey. Hey, Jamie, Dave, and Adam. I don't know who those people are. 12-team PPR, need one wide receiver and one flex from Larry Fitzgerald, Brian Quick, Sammy Watkins, Terrence Williams, Victor Cruz, and Frank Gore. That's Fitzgerald, Quick, Watkins, Williams, Cruz, and Gore.
The first name that sticks out to me is Sammy Watkins.
I would actually go Watkins and Quick.
Over Terrence Williams.
In a PPR league, yes.
I'm going to agree with you in a PPR league. What if it were a standard league? How excited are you about Terrence Williams at this
Not
point?
Overly. I think it's going to depend on when they're throwing that he's going to start to
And
throw.
That this could be a game where they might not need to throw.
I agree. Half-point PPR is from Chase in the Deep South. Pick a city.
Shreveport, Louisiana.
Sounds good. Half-point PPR and have to start Seattle's DST. Would you start out of this group Monte Ball, Jeremy Hill, or the answer, Kyrie Robinson?
I'll go with the answer, Kyrie Robinson. Great matchup against Minnesota. The Saints should romp them. I would expect Robinson to score a touchdown and get some nice yardage with it.
All right, this comes to us from Claire in Portland, Oregon.
You ever been to Portland?
I have not. Have you?
No, I'm going to go there.
Dear Ricaro, Cavaro, and Ago.
I don't know what that is.
Matt, any idea? Cavaro, Rock, Ricaro, Cavaro, and Ago. Nothing? All right.
He's shrugging.
Pick two, Shane Vereen, Matt Asiata. We woke Matt up from his sleep, by the way.
Shane Were you Vereen, sleeping? Did you pass
no,
out?
No, he was awake. He was just playing on his phone. Shane Vereen, Matt Asiata, Golden Tate, or Kyrie Robinson? Pick two. 12-team standard.
We're going to say the same guys. I'm going to say Kyrie Robinson for the reasons I just mentioned, and Golden Tate for what yep. should be a high-scoring game between the Packers and the Lions. I think this could be you've kind of – I've listened to you all week and certainly all offseason about Golden Tate and why he's a good receiver. Uh-huh. And I see your points, and I think they're very valid, especially because I think Green Bay's defense stinks.
Yeah.
And I think Stafford should be able to work around them and put up some numbers. Calvin always has a big game against Green Bay. But I think you'll see Golden Tate do it, too. I'm starting both of those Lions receivers in my FanDuel leagues this
I like
week.
It. Think about the start of the season. Week one, it was Ricardo Lockett scored a touchdown, secondary receiver.
Right.
Week two, it was Randall Cobb scoring two. So the number two guy against.
Well, Randall Cobb scores
I'm sorry.
Against.
I'm
you know all, who I'm almost had one? Decker had a touchdown,
Decker
but Curley
had
one called back.
Sam Shields and Curley had one called back. I don't know where I was going, Randall Cobb.
I'm telling you, man, you're tired.
I'm all over the place.
Don't read too all many right. more emails,
all
man.
All right, Chris
I know
from Massachusetts. Dear Rock, Colty, and Tum- Dear Rock, Rocky, Rocky, Colt, and Tum Tum. Standard league, need two running backs, two wide receivers, and a flex. DeMarco Murray, Monte Ball, Randall Cobb, Michael Crabtree, Golden Tate,
Jesus.
Wes Welker, Shane Vereen, Terrence Williams, and Andre.
Are we setting this guy's whole lineup? Does he want us to do a grease and oil change on his car, too?
All right, so it comes down to Murray is one running back, and who's your second running back between Monte Ball and Shane Vereen?
I'll go Ball.
I would, too. Two receivers. Randall Cobb is one, and then we're going to differ on this. So you're take Crabtree over Tate. I'll take Tate over Crabtree.
Yeah, and we'll I don't mind the matchup for Crabtree.
Okay, then it comes down to flex between either, for you, it would be Tate, Wes Welker, Shane Vereen, or Terrence Williams?
Tate, Wes Welker, Shane Vereen, or Terrence Williams?
Yep.
I'll go with your guy, Golden Tate.
Okay. So
and then for you, it would be Crabtree and those other guys.
No, I'd actually start Welker over
Crabtree. Over Crabtree?
Yep.
Wow, you don't like Michael Crabtree.
I think he's below Welker. Romo or Rivers? I think we agree.
Rivers.
All right, two more. Scott from Seattle. Dear Lone Star, Prince Valium, and President Scroob.
That's from Spaceballs.
Pick one running back, one wide receiver, and one flex. Joik Bell, Steven Ridley, Manuel Sanders, Cordarrelle Patterson, Brandon Cooks, Matt Asiata. Joik Bell, Steven Ridley, Manuel Sanders, Cordarrelle Patterson, Brandon Cooks, Matt Asiata. One running back, one receiver, one flex.
I'd go with Bell as the running backs, Ridley as the flex, and Brandon Cooks as the wide receiver.
I would agree.
All right.
All right. Last one from the Vegan Pagan.
Oh, all right.
The Vegan Pagan in Danville, California.
Where else would the Vegan Pagan be?
You know who's from Danville, California?
Dan?
Zach Ertz.
Oh, okay.
Hello, Franny, Zoe, and Seymour.
I feel like I should know that, but I don't.
I don't know.
Okay.
I was rewarded for sticking with Ryan over Russell. I assume that's last night because it was sent 6 hours ago. But now I must select two of these four running backs in a standard league. Rashad Jennings, Joik Bell, Ahmad Bradshaw, Donald Brown.
I'd go with
Bell, Bradshaw, Brown.
Bell and Bradshaw for me.
I would go Bell and Jennings, but I think Bradshaw's great as well. So you can go Bell and Bradshaw and
all right.
Run to success, the vegan pagan.
I want everyone to win this week in week three, except for those who are playing against me.
That'd be a lot of winning.
Yeah, I hope everybody does well in their leagues. Producer Matt Brodsky, who we've known a long time, thank you so much for being here and helping this thing not sound like it came from a bathroom, which is what last week's podcast sounded like. Jamie, get some rest. We will see you on Sunday on Fantasy Football Today, 11 a.m. Eastern, on CBSSports.com or on the CBS Sports mobile app. While you are resting, Adam Azer and I will be here Saturday night on CBS Sports Radio talking Ion Fantasy Football. That's from 10 p.m. till 12 a.m. Eastern time, but 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific time. So all you West Coasters hanging out, give us a call before you go out and go to all your raves and square dance parties and, you know, dinners with the in-laws. Before you go out and do that stuff, tune in. You can give us a call. We'll answer your questions. That's all at CBS Sports Radio. And that's also at radio.cbssports.com and through the CBS Sports app.
What about Hawaii? What time will it be there?
I think it's 5 o'clock Hawaii time.
London?
So get off your darn surfboard. Put the seaweed back in the ocean. Grab a coconut, sit in the sand, and dial us up on the CBS Sports
app. We just got this tweet from at Ardishen, R-D-I-S-H-E-N. Where's the podcast? The newly assigned producer didn't do the trick. I'm available. They're trying to replace you already, Matt.
Yeah.
Just because they
it's not
going
to work.
They think it's your fault that we haven't recorded yet.
No.
It's coming.
Matt, in fact, was waiting for us. So, Matt, yes. Thank you so much for a great job. Are you on Twitter, Matt? What's your Twitter? You have a microphone. It's not plugged in?
Matt S. Brodsky
is producer extraordinaire, and we thank him for it. And you guys can thank at Matt S. Brodsky.
And Matt is as pretty as Jenna, so you can enjoy.
Way prettier. Thank you very much. For Matt Brodsky and Jamie Eisenberg, but not Adam Azer, I am Dave Richard. Good luck in week three, and thanks for coming out.
Bye.